Praise the Lord. So, does anybody remember the day that they trusted the Messiah? The day you came to faith. Does anybody remember the day they came to faith? Which means trusting in him, not just knowing him by name. So how many of you remember the day you left him? We've all left him on occasion. So if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Because everybody kind of ebbs and flows because of the struggle of the flesh. And that brings me to the title of the message, which is Abandoning the Truth. Avino Malkino, our Father, King, Lord, I just pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, will only be of you, Lord. Whatever I've missed that you'd bring forth, Lord, whatever I've missed, you'd bring it through the Holy Spirit, and whatever is of the flesh, you would strike it. And I pray this in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. So abandoning the truth. So the truth is Messiah. Truth is also the Word of God, but in combination, the truth is also the Holy Spirit. And abandoning the truth, abandoning God, is a real issue. And in fact, I say it's a timely issue in this world, because the world is throwing everything against us to discourage us in faith from everywhere. And everybody makes it sound so good and rational and inclusive. So the rejection of God, abandoning the truth, has become universal, and the people try to be inclusive of everybody in abandoning God. It's easier to abandon God when there's a big crowd to join. It must be okay. Other people are saying it, other people are doing it, and other people are thinking it. From John chapter 6, at this the Judeans disputed with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Yeshua said, "Then yes, indeed, I tell you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That is, I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in him. Just as the Father sent me, and I live through the Father, so also whoever eats of me will live through me. So this is the bread that has come down from heaven. It is not like the bread the fathers ate. They're dead. But whoever eats this bread will live forever." This is one of the hardest words in the New Covenant. It was hard then. It's a real struggle. And of course, you know, the Roman Catholicism has tried to make that a literal thing, that when they take the Eucharist, they're literally eating and drinking Yeshua's blood and body. That isn't the point. The point that Yeshua is making, he says that I'm the life, and in order to have me, you have to ingest me. You have to take me all in. You have to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. We literally have to ingest the Lord. And of course, the Holy Spirit really amplifies that. The Holy Spirit allows us to operate in the fullness that God has for us. It's not, you know, in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Spirit primarily worked from the outside in. And it was only manifest in some people, not all people. But in the New Covenant, with the coming Yeshua's ascension and Him ascending, the Comforter, now the Spirit could dwell in us, where we could have the fullness of God in us. These words of John are extremely difficult, and to many confusing. Clearly it has confused the church and how they approach the flesh and the blood of the Son of God. They had the same problem 2,000 years ago. Many of Yeshua's followers betrayed him. They walked away from him with this hard word. Some of them were probably thinking, he's nuts. No way I can do that. That's cannibalism. He's lost his mind. Which shows many of them did not know him because they also did not know the Father. Yeshua says, those that know my Father know me, and those that know me know my Father. And if that was true, then they wouldn't have been able to walk away. They would have said, I get it. I understand. How many of us in our generations, ourselves or our children or relatives or whatever, or friends, have walked away from the Messiah? They've abandoned the truth because he's too difficult. He's perceived to be too difficult. The enemy says it's too hard. But God says, my yoke is easy. Even Moses got it when he says, this is not too difficult. Is God too far away that he can't be brought close down from heaven and brought from the depths of the earth that we can be, he can dwell with us, we can walk in his commandments? It's not too difficult. Yeah, how many of us within the body of Messiah constant complaints about how we don't want to walk in the Word of God, that we want to make our own path. And so we abandon the truth. Because the truth, the perception is the truth is too difficult for us. Or it's too hard to understand, and it must just be a metaphor. Eating of Yeshua's blood and body, in one way, is a metaphor, but in another way, it's literal. That we are to ingest him, his word, his spirit, his ways, his character. That we would reject the rest of the world and that we would be totally devoted and totally focused on the Mashiach. Not distracted by the outside world. Not distracted by the naysayers. This is a hard word, but it's relevant today as it was then. Simply, Yeshua was saying, follow me for eternal life. There's a lot of these scriptures, but it waters down. He says, if you love me, if you walk with me, then you will know me, you will know the Father, and the Father knows you, and I know you, and you will have eternal life. The people are so busy with the words that they thought were crazy that they let the words get between them and their relationship with Yeshua. Which means they were already predisposed to walking away. A lot of Yeshua's followers, and we don't have numbers, but apparently many of them were like today's groupies following a band or an actor or an actress. No great value in that. In fact, when you usually do that, if you're really into it, you get used and abused and you spend all your money in pursuit of an empty promise. In fact, most of them don't even promise anything, do they? The world doesn't promise you anything, really. First of all, you know, Satan, the god of all lies, the father of lies, everything comes out of his mouth is not true. Yet people will pursue that dream, will invest in pursuing musicians or great teachers or whatever. We should be pursuing the Messiah and his word. Yeshua is saying, simply follow me and you will have eternal life. But if you reject me, it will lead to your death. just as it already had and was doing for those that abandoned him, even in his time, his real time when he walked the earth, those that were following him, right, his Talmids, his followers, they were abandoning him to their death, their spiritual death. This is talking about a spiritual death. How easy it appears to be able to walk away from the Lord, abandoning the truth. There's only one truth of God. There's only one Word of God. There's only one Spirit of God. There's only one Father, and God is one. Is that so difficult for us to profess that we know God? Is it that difficult that we can't be focused on the one true God, the one that has given His life, given His Spirit, given us His Word, and He's been consistent and constant? And if you don't know that, then you're not reading enough of the Tanakh to know how faithful God is. Following Yeshua is a narrow road. Of course, most of these words I'm giving you, most people, you know, these are familiar words. Wow, the road is narrow. Yes, the road is narrow. But do you really take that literally? Because that's a literal statement. The road through Messiah is narrow. That song that makes it all sound too easy. I take the high road and you take the low road, and I'll get to Scotland before ye. Sounds pretty merry. The road is narrow and challenging and difficult to follow Messiah. Not impossible, not too difficult, because most of it is our attitude, our heart attitude. Sometimes we approach it, Lord, follow me and I will lead you to the promised land. We're not supposed to be leading, we're supposed to be following. Following can be difficult, being under accountability. Why we preach spiritual accountability? We're all accountable to the Lord, but in communities we are accountable to those that the Lord has raised up. And if you don't believe that the Lord has raised up the person that leads the congregation, you shouldn't be in that congregation. Not because they're greater than you, but that's just the calling. We want to follow. Human nature wants to follow when it's convenient for us or the things we like. I'll follow you as long as you tell me what I like to hear. That's human nature. I get it. Sometimes the Lord lets us hang ourselves. He'll give us a lot of rope. And it can vary from person to person, calling to calling. But sometimes the Lord will give you enough rope to literally hang yourself. And then to others, He'll give just enough rope to get your attention. And hoping that you'll repent and that you'll make changes and you'll turn back to Him, teshuvah. I've always said, the Lord always gets His man or His woman. He always. You can do it the hard way, or you can do it the easier way, or you can do it His way. So if the road is narrow, that means the road, the truth, Yeshua is narrow. It's not a broad road. It's not one size fits all. All religion does not point to Yeshua. All the writings, the philosophers and the Quran and all those things do not point to Yeshua. I've had many Western Muslims over many years when I work with them say, we worship the same God. No, we don't. But they think they've been taught or brainwashed or rationalized. We're all on the same page. We all worship the same God. There are false messiahs, false gospels. it can't be true that we're on the same page, because the road to the Lord is narrow. It says in Matthew chapter 7, "Go through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide and the road broad, and many travel it." But it's a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life. And here's where we should all be really attentive, and only a few find it. All of us that we gather in this community, are we all on the right road? Sometimes I can discern that, and sometimes I can't. Some people are better at faking a relationship with God than others. Some obviously don't have a relationship. Some obviously do have a relationship. Wherever you are, this moment, this second, God expects more. The status quo isn't satisfactory. The devil will pick you off. You know, it grieves me when people, it's a privilege to come to Beth El Gibor. It's a privilege to come into any house of God. And it grieves me when you have instances of people staring out the window, falling asleep, or have a look on their face like they just fell into a sinkhole. It grieves me, and if it's grieving me, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I just want to get up and shake people. And they go, tch. That's not beyond God. You don't think Yeshua is doing that by turning over tables and slamming the Pharisees? In our readings, I don't know how many of you actually read it or listened to it, but because of how Yeshua acts as the Son of God, as God, Pharisees and others go, "You got a demon." In fact, they accuse him of being a demon. That's really going on a limb, isn't it? You're a demon. You have a demon in you. And why did they do that? Because his truth confronted their lies. So they were lashing out to try and devalue him. You know, I grew up in my house, particularly with my dad, who I loved very much. Very intense. You think I was intense? He mellowed when he got older. I still haven't mellowed that much. In our house, the loudest person wins. Now, we all know that's not true, but that's how I grew up, because that's how my dad dealt with it. If he didn't do what he said, then he elevated. Of course, it got a little more challenging as I got older, as I was feeling my oats. But that's how the Pharisees were. We're going to be louder and nastier. And we're going to confute the truth. The world is telling us lots of lies, and it does it loudly. It does it emphatically. The world says, "We have proof." In every lie, we have proof that the lies are true. Yet there is no proof, right? It's like evolution. There's no truth. There's no science to it that can be proved. But if you say a lie long enough, in this world, people accept it as truth. We have to be wise. And we need the Holy Spirit, and we need the Word of God to challenge the lies of this world, just as they did 2,000 years ago. Because if we don't, then we're abandoning the truth. We need the truth. Yeshua, the Holy Spirit and His Word, we need that to challenge and overturn the lie. And if we don't not equipped with that, if you're not vested in that, then you're going to be led astray. I preach and live these things because their urgency, and some people find me maybe overbearing sometimes or all the time. I believe in these things 100%. They are a matter of life and death. And I'd much rather somebody be aggravated with me than to compromise the truth. From John chapter 8, the Judeans answered him, "Aren't we right in saying you are from Shamron and have a demon?" Now they're saying Yeshua is from somewhere else. He's not from Israel. And because you're from Shamron, you got a demon. His Lord knows nothing good comes out of Nazareth or Shamron. Yeshua replied, "Me? You talking to me? I have a demon? I'm honoring my Father, but you dishonor me. I'm not seeking praise for myself. There is one who is seeking it, and he is the judge, the Father. Yes, indeed, I tell you that whoever obeys my teaching will never see death." Yeshua was calling out these self-serving individuals, the Pharisees and some of them Sadducees and a mixed group of people. He's calling out all these self-serving people, saying, "Get over yourself, bend the knee, and recognize God. For I am here." Yeshua was calling out those that were challenging him and looking to glorify themselves. Right? It's a worship of self. It's idolatry. The epitome of idolatry is the worship of self. And Yeshua is challenging it. Underlying these scriptures is idolatry of self-worship. Self being made their own gods. And we have to be on guard that we're not our own little gods. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And that's through a lot of things, is whether we're worshiping or praising or intercessory prayer or anything that we're putting our hand to. It's never about us, about us receiving anything out of it. It's about to the glory of God and worshiping and praising Him and serving Him and giving Him thanksgiving. But these people were looking for something else. They're not looking for God. In fact, they've run into God and they don't want any part of Him. God cramps their styles. Yeshua is putting them on notice. The way you have run things around here ain't going to keep flying. There's death waiting for all of you. Eternal death. Yeshua was pointing out deep flaws in their minds and in their hearts, which is rebellion to God by serving self. I need, I want. Bring it up every once in a while, right? Classic from the book, from the movie Nemo. Remember the seagulls? Mine. What the Lord is saying, mine. I I want it all. And because I love you, I'm going to share it. But you give me the honor and the glory. And if you don't, there's consequence. Let's go back to the eating of Yeshua's flesh and drinking his blood imagery. As I said, this really messed people up. And not his adversaries, but those that were sitting on the fence. Those were that were kind of caught up in the euphoria. Hey, I think we might know the Messiah. He's a great teacher or whatever. And it really messed up the people that all of a sudden go, whoa, wait a minute. That is way past what I'm willing to do. Like being a groupie, we get together, you feed us, we have bread, we have fish. I like this, a lot of big crowds. I can sell my stuff. But when it came down to the bottom line, messed them up. From John chapter 6, on hearing it, many of his Talmudim said, this is a hard word, and who can bear to listen to it? But Yeshua, aware that the Talmudim were grumbling about this, said to them, this is a trap for you. Yeshua is testing them, just like he tests us. He's testing them, and he's testing us. What is our faith commitment? What is your faith commitment? Not just sitting here listening to the message. You're not sure if you like it or not yet. But what is your faith commitment the rest of the week? Where you work? Where you go to school? How you take care of your children and your family? This is a trap for you. This is hard. I'm asking you to be all in. Suppose you were to see the Son of Man going back up to where he was before. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Yet some among you do not trust. For Yeshua knew from the outset which ones would trust him and which one would betray him. Of course, he's talking about Judas Iscariot. Yeshua is not testing himself. He knows who's going to choose. Of course, there's the opportunity for transformation. Can we go from somebody that is not really choosing him to somebody that will live fully for him? What is the trigger that allows you to make it to the next step of relationship with God? What holds you back? What's your trigger? What is it that gets you over the hump of holding God at a distance? Are you still cranky about the circumstances God gives you? You hurt? Don't got enough money? Kids drive you nuts? Job doesn't respect you? What is the thing that holds you back? What is the thing that keeps you from making the next leap of faith? Well, the key pin is laying down your rebellion, your resistance to God. No matter what your circumstances are. I've heard people pray, Lord, I'd be more faithful if you would just help me out here, here, and here. You know when people get disillusioned because of the false gospel that, you know, like name it and claim it, where people tell you, just give and the Lord will take care of you and don't you worry. And all those people that are discouraged because they don't get what their expectations were based on false teaching. They go, God, he's not working for me. The problem is, it's not that God works for us, though he does. It's how we work for the Lord. No matter what. This, he said, is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has made it possible for him. What does that even mean? That no one can come to me unless the Father has made it possible for him. And well, how does the Father make it possible for us to come to him? Anybody know? Yeshua is the way the Father makes the way for us to come before him, to be received by him, to acknowledge him. He's it's Yeshua that makes the blood atonement. He's the kapara. He's the sin atonement for us. And if you reject Yeshua, so people say, I can never get to God. I can't get quite close enough. You know, it's that old joke, right, where there's a flood and the guy, his house is flooding. They send him a canoe. He says, no, God will take care of it. Then they send him a boat. He says, no, God will take care of it. He gets on the roof, and they send him a helicopter. He says, no, God will take care of it. And then he drowns. Yeshua is the vehicle. He is the only vehicle where we can find eternal life, where we find redemption in this world and the next. The literal of the partaking of his body and his blood is to ingest his character, his ways, even his desires. Our desire should be to serve him, not to see what we can get from him. Yeshua's oppressors look to invalidate not only his ministry, but Yeshua's very existence. Why? Remember, within that story, they want to stone him. They want to kill him. They want to take him out. I was saying to Rabbi Eduardo earlier, when we were reading that verse, and it says, and that they came to kill him, and Yeshua disappeared. And I said, who knew that Yeshua had a cloaking device? It's awesome. The invisible, invisible image of the invisible God. How does he do that? Many of Yeshua's Talmidim, his followers, abandoned him, right, to his God's high standard of living. I'm not willing to go that far. I've reached my limit. Right, so a common practice today is that we tear down what we don't agree with, right? And that's really what the world's about, whether it's cancel culture or everything that's going on or critical race theory. I'm going to be teaching on that soon. But all these lies, all these things that are going on in our culture, in our world, and what they do is they're trying to take down the truth and replace it with their lies. We don't tear down what we don't agree with. If you don't support, you know, a gay lifestyle, then we're bigots. I have just as much of a right to what I believe as you do, and the Lord will deal with you, but I'm not going to agree with you, nor am I going to support it, nor do I want to pay any taxes towards it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't respect all people. But I'm going to stand up for what's right, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. But the world, the common practice is they are tearing down what they don't agree with. Keep that in mind. The world works on tearing down what is not God's, what they don't agree with. Whatever their agenda may be, they're looking to replace truth with lie. They might try to say the same about us. The difference is I have the Word of God that's been consistent since it's been given to us and was true even before it was given to Israel. And the world does it through intimidation, not just lying, but intimidation. to intimidate you, to beat you down, to scare you off. The Pharisees and others were looking to destroy Yeshua's and his followers' testimony, falsely accusing them, particularly Yeshua, of being of the devil. You're not God, you're the devil. That might seem outlandish to us, yet we see many that fall prey to that. I want to go back to John chapter 8 for a minute. Yeshua turns the accusation around, right? He turns the accusation on his accusers around. And he says, they are not honorable because their father is Satan. Ooh. See how he just turns that around? He says, I'm of the Father. Here's the truth. But because of what you say and what you do, your father is Satan, because you're liars. Yeshua replied, me? I have no demon. I'm honoring my Father, but you dishonor me. I'm not seeking praise for myself. There is one who is seeking it, and he is the judge. Yes, indeed, I tell you that whoever obeys my teaching will never see death, again, a spiritual death. So in the context of Yeshua's blood and his body, and us to be transformed by literally taking Yeshua inside, we see that transformation. That's the ability for us to obey his word. Whoever obeys my teaching will never see death. Now, unfortunately, I challenge that much of the popular Christian teaching is talking about only the things that Jesus said. Well, Jesus is the Word made flesh. I have this argument all the time with him. I said, Yeshua is the Word made flesh, the book of John, chapter 1. I mean, how else do you read that? But you say, well, just the stuff that he said, but he said all of it. From Matthew chapter 23, woe to you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. That's really an interesting statement, right? This is a two-sided sword on this one. They're going around trying to find proselytes, people that are not Jewish. And they want to convert them to being Jewish and to live the Pharisaic life, what we know today is related to Rabbinic Judaism, but they're not the same. Pharisaic Judaism and Rabbinic Judaism are not the same. Are there some similarities? Yes. But Rabbinic Judaism comes much later, after the destruction of the Second Temple. But they're going around and they're teaching people how to be good Pharisees and not lovers of God. And he says, you're going to make it twice as worse for them. You're going to make them twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. See, my brothers and sisters, we have a choice to make. We have choices to make. And at the top of that, it's a simple one, really. Whom do you choose today to serve? We can put aside, in this sense, all the scripture and all the things you've been taught and whatever. And it comes down to who do you choose to serve today? And then if the answer is the Lord, Messiah, Yeshua, then his word and his spirit will help you do that. People go, I'm not prepared to serve the Lord. I don't know enough. That's why intellectual assent, only having intellectual assent is no good. It's useless. It'll lead you to a dead end. Just knowing lots of stuff isn't going to help you. It's not that information can't be valuable, but if you're not filled full of the Holy Spirit and your basic tenet is, I love God and I'm going to serve Him with all my heart, my soul, my body, and my mind, then the rest of it is worthless to you. The stuff you learn can only really be applied when you have a heart for God and a desire to bend the knee before Him. It's not our lips that choose, but it's our actions that choose who we are. From Joshua 24, if it seemed bad to you to worship Adonai, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Make a choice. You're not going to serve God? Go serve those false gods and yourself and see what happens. Whether the gods that your fathers worshipped that were beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whom the land you are living, but as for me and my household, we will worship Adonai. You have to choose, my brothers and sisters. We each have to choose that we will serve. And it's not just the head of the family, although that's where it starts. That's why we need strong men and strong women at the heads of families. Because how do we lead the children? We lead them by the testimony of our lives, the convictions of how we live. But we each have to choose. Our children have to choose who they will serve. The best we can do is raise them right. Choosing is living. Choosing God is living. Being a member of God's family means that we have chosen the narrow path. The one with His light, embracing both His word and His spirit, His ruach. Look, we have evidence. We know from Scripture and from our own lives, probably many have fallen by the wayside. Are you one of the many or one of the few? Right? Are you one of the many or one of the few? The world is the many. Those that walk with the Lord are the few. And there's a dramatic difference. If you kind of look like the world, then you're not serving the Lord. If you hunger and thirst for what the world has, then you're not serving the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't appreciate things of the world. It's all of God. But where is the balance? From John chapter 6, from this time on, many of his Talmudim turned back and no longer traveled around with him. So Yeshua said to the 12, don't you want to leave too? Shimon Kepha answered him, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the word of eternal life. We have trusted and we know that you are the Holy One of God. My brothers and sisters, we need to be speaking that out of our own mouths. You are the Holy One of God. There is nowhere to go but to you. If you have other options, then you are not dedicated to the Creator of the universe. Our crumbling ethical world tempts us every day to fall away from the life with the Messiah. It shouldn't be surprising to us, though. We were warned many times in Scripture. A couple of here, one from Deuteronomy chapter 31. Adonai said to Moses, because you are about to lie down with your fathers, then this people will rise up and prostitute themselves with the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will abandon me and break my covenant that I cut with them. Brothers and sisters, what side of the aisle do we stand? And from Isaiah 53, we all like sheep, we've gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. So Adonai laid on him the iniquity of us all. The only way we benefit is to return. We've all been led astray. But we all, because through the Lord's sacrifice, because the iniquity was laid on him, you have the opportunity to return. Don't be lukewarm for God. This has been a theme recently. You need to be hot for God, or better, cold. Then you know where you're going to hell. Do not be lukewarm for God, because he will spew you out, as it says in Revelation chapter 3. From 2 Peter 2, then they abandoned the straight way. They had gone astray. They had followed the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Kepha, Peter, he's talking about believers that have left the Lord. He's not talking about the world that's already gone. He's talking about people that said they loved God and they have abandoned him. We know that we are susceptible to being stolen by the enemy. Be aware. There is only one truth. Yeshua is that truth. Anything less than Yeshua, his ways and his word, is a lie. It doesn't matter what people are teaching you. If it doesn't match Yeshua, if it doesn't match his word, and it isn't endorsed by his spirit, it's a lie. Have you bought into a lie or lies in your life? Are you still stuck in some of them? Look, we need to ask these questions. You need to ask them of yourselves as well. I'm up here asking them corporately, but you need to ask them of yourselves, right? For the truth comes from his lips and his spirit. One last scripture from John 7. How does this man know so much, having never been taught? Yeshua answered, my teaching is not from me, but from the one who sent me. Why was he saying this? Well, Yeshua wasn't traditionally trained by the rabbis. Yeshua's knowledge comes from God. He's not spouting what the rabbis are teaching. He didn't study under any great rabbis. My teaching is not from me, but from the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he will know whether my teaching comes from God or it is me, myself, speaking. Wow, that is a powerful statement. If anyone wants to do the Lord's will, he will know whether my teaching comes from God or from myself speaking. Whoever speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, he is true and there is no unrighteousness in him. My brothers and sisters, test yourself daily to the Word. Check that Word and your thoughts with His Spirit. And every day, as you do this, humble yourself. Amen.